This is the Next Level Running Podcast, brought to you by the expert coaches at Rundoyan, helping runners of all levels crush their goals on race day by matching you with the perfect coach or training plan.
Hello, and welcome to this month's episode of the Next Level Running Podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Phillips, and we've got a special episode for you this month. We're about a month out from the Boston Marathon. So tonight, I sit down with Coach Patrick Cunniff of Rundoyan.com, and we talk all things Boston Marathon. We talk the history, we talk the prestige, we talk the course, we talk training for it. It's a fun conversation. Coach Patrick is from the New England area and ran Boston and shares his experience, and it's a memorable one. We talk some of our favorite stories with Boston. It's a great listen. It's a great conversation. And so I'm excited to share this with you tonight. But before I do that, as usual, I want to point you below to the show notes. I've got the links for the contact info for Coach Patrick and myself. If you're looking for a world-class expert run coach to help you crush your running goals, look no further than Rundoyan.com. And you can start with either our matching feature or you can reach out directly to Coach Patrick or myself. We'd love to help you there. I also have a link to the Doyen Dashers program. And so, look, if you're not ready for a run coach yet, but you want to get started and you want to start somewhere in a smart, safe way, the Doyen Dashers is a great program for you. I actually started using the Doyen Dashers myself. I'm not quite ready for a coach, just kind of building back and getting into running again after a little bit of a hiatus. And I love the flexibility of it. I love that there's some accountability, but not a ton. So check that out. So if you're not quite ready for that running coach, the Doyen Dashers might be what works for you. Also, if you haven't clicked that follow button at Rundoyan Instagram, do that. We're pumping out great content almost daily there. You've got everything from running inspiration to education to motivation, everything there. If Instagram's not your thing, but Facebook is, then join the Next Level Running Facebook community group. It's basically what we have there on Instagram, but it's a little bit more interactive. And so you can leave comments and you can comment back and forth and you can ask questions or look for advice there. It's a great community to join. Tonight, this month, we're talking all things Boston Marathon. That race, the 128th running of that race will be on April 15th. I think it's limited to 30,000 entrants. That's a ton of people. 500,000 spectators along the streets of Boston. It's going to be a big one. So here's some things that you might already know or don't know. Here's our conversation about all things Boston Marathon with Coach Patrick Cunniff.
Hey, Patrick, how are you, man?
I am doing good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, man.
Excellent.
Yeah, how's it? So you're in Georgia, right?
Just a tiny bit.
No, you're good. You're in Georgia, right?
I am in Georgia. I just actually literally got back from New England.
Oh, wow. So how was the weather?
It had snowed on kind of Friday night into Saturday, mm-hmm. and then kind of got cold and everything froze up. And then Sunday was super windy, and then today was getting nice again.
Nice. Dude, I think we're done with winter, you know, here in Dallas. It was like 70 degrees. Yeah, 70 degrees this afternoon. I think it's supposed to be 75 tomorrow in the afternoon. And then Wednesday, it might hit 80s. So the mornings are cool. It's perfect. And then the day is sunny. And yeah, it's been nice. It's been super nice. So, but, you know, it's kind of that weather you kind of dream of. You know, you go through this winter and you're like, okay, I just can't wait. And like, we don't even have a bad winter in Dallas. But anyways, we're talking Boston Marathon. I see you got the shirt on. And so,
yeah, I pulled it out. I was lucky I could find it.
No doubt, man. You know, this episode is going to air on March 13th. So about a month out from Boston. And you know, I think like for me, you know, we just had the trials. And so that was
a great event.
Yeah. Super big event. Awesome event for us running fans. But I think like the next thing on the calendar for us is, especially if you're talking marathons, it's Boston, right? And And that's kind of the granddaddy of them all when you're talking, you know, here in America. And so just wanted to kind of dive into that and, you know, talk about the history, talk about the tradition, the prestige, talk about the course. You know, and just kind of, I think we as just as fans of the sport probably have these, you know, these stories that, you know, are kind of fan favorites for us and such. But have you ever run Boston?
I did. I ran in 2003.
Oh, how was that?
It blew me away. You know, as a young kid, I'd gone up a few times. And again, I think I told you, you know, my grandparents lived a block and a half from the course in Natick. Yeah. And I was born in Framingham. Wow. But then kind of ironically, because of being a runner, I was actually away most, you know, because only Massachusetts has Patriots Day.
Mm.
Even the other New England states, and I, you know, mostly I went to high school and junior high in Rhode Island,
mm-hmm.
and always had track practice.
Yeah.
So I had been away for years and years when I finally qualified. And then when I qualified was actually when I first started coaching, and I had moved to Austin
mm-hmm.
right after I qualified and hardly trained at all, but was going off of back then you could qualify in December and run it that year.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, exceeded every overhyped expectation anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the streets of New England are pretty narrow.
Yeah.
You know, especially the routes that it's on. And right from Hopkinton and all the way through, it is, you know, there are people lining the course the entire way.
Yeah.
You know, again, for me, going through Framingham and then through Natick and having a big family contingent and then, you know, some stuff that was kind of personal along the way. And then both my grandfathers went to Boston College.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, the women at Wellesley. You know,
yeah.
Just like, it is amazing how loud it is and, you know, gets just shivers up your spine. And, you know, and then as you get closer, definitely people have been hitting Patriots Day pretty hard.
Yeah.
My year was one of the last noon starts.
Okay.
And so you had the crowd coming out of Fenway and, you know, the kids at BC.
Yeah.
1:32 were pretty excitable.
We'll yeah.
And so a great, great experience.
You know, so it sounds like, well, you touched on a couple things and we'll kind of go back through them and such, but it sounds like kind of a personal event to you, you know, where you grew up, family, all that kind of good stuff. I've never been, you know, I've been up to BU for indoor track.
But yeah.
I've never been to Boston for the marathon. My assistant coach, she ran Boston last Great. Year and that was you know, a fun event for her and such, but I've never been, but I watch it every year. I watch it on TV and, you know, and like, you're watching it and you kind of get a sense. I mean, you know, it's a big deal, but then, you know, I start looking at some statistics and they say 500,000 people lining the streets, like from Hopkinton yeah. all the way to Boylston Street. Like, I mean, like, and then you talk about the Wellesley Scream Tunnel. Like I don't think you really experience that watching it on TV, you know, like,
no, I don't think you do. I mean, again, there's that whole list that we all know, you know, and yet to actually go through it again, it just exceeded in every way.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, like you say, growing up both in the Boston area and then kind of family settled in Rhode Island and, you know, a couple of the famous people from the old days, like Tarzan Brown and,
yeah.
you know, Leslie Paulson. And those guys, and then, you know, to start to know some people either associated with Providence College or with Greater Boston Track Club and all that. So, you know, like you say, and then I think in some ways it's one of those events that's held on from, you know, the time of, you know, there being five TV stations instead of 100. It's just an event that's kind of, with all the splintering of everything, it's still just held on to a piece of kind of the American imagination.
No doubt. No, I mean, like, you know, I was looking and it's like, it's the most viewed sporting event in New England. And you're talking, you got the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Celtics. I mean, all that, right? Like all these famous, you know, sports teams. And this is the most viewed event in that area. And I think that's super cool. And, you know, you just say, you know, Hopkinton, and you, that's where he starts. And, you know, and there's a church that they hold all the runners at, right? And like just all these different things and such. And, you know, you're talking about the Greater Boston Track Club. When my wife and I first got married, you know, we were still kind of doing the post-collegiate running thing. And we started the Greater Texas Track Club because, like, that was something we had read books about, Greater Boston Track Club and Bill Squires and Boston Billy and all those. And so that was kind of like, I obviously was after all that, right? That was 70s, 80s. I was born in the 80s, right? But, like, growing up and reading about the sport and kind of geeking out on it. I mean, my favorite book is Duel in the Sun, you know, and just – yeah, just all those things. And so I think, like, yeah, the history is really cool. And I kind of wrote down some like the Catherine Switzer in 1967, you know, getting, you know, Jock Simple is chasing her off the course or trying to pull her off the course. Right. And it's got all this history to it. But like you said, it's stood the test of time. Right. And the prestige is still as high. When I was a post-collegiate runner, and this is nothing against the Chicago Marathon, but like, I remember that was a big deal. And now it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not that it's not. I mean, it's still a great marathon. It's still, you know, major and all that kind of good stuff. But Boston is still the thing, right? It's still the thing that you want to do. It's still the thing that people reach out to us as coaches and say, I want to qualify for Boston and I want to run Boston. And we're going to talk about that. But, you know, when we're talking about this, we know the history, like the course. Like, do you think the course makes it special too? Because obviously you train for Boston a little differently than you train for other things, right?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the combination of the course and, you know, both the history, you know, with it going back to 1897, mm-hmm. but then, you know, that notion of real history, you know, 1620s. You know, 1776, you know, the idea that, you know, not literally, but in some way, you know, you're doing a reverse Paul Revere.
You
know, I think that does add. And then again, with it luckily coming from a time, you know, with less media and it getting attention and being a Monday event so often, you know, then the stories have built up. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think, you know, whether it is, you know, Duel in the Sun and Stepping in a Pothole or, you know, Heartbreak Hill with, you know, Tarzan Brown. And, you know, they really, it's more of a storyline than a course map. And again, you know, it's funny. You know, I talk so much about how the event exceeded every expectation. Mm-hmm. In a way, you know, the course, and I was just looking at the topographical map.
Yeah.
You know, is a little bit the opposite. You know, it is really a course that kind of only lives up to its reputation if it sucks you in, which it absolutely can do. Using the collegiate perspective, I think almost anybody could get an 8K PR on that course. If it pulls you too fast, then those hills grow. But like I said, I kind of had trained really hard to get my qualifier and then backed off, but I also didn't attack the race too hard. And I was kind of, you know, as you're going over Heartbreak and you're starting down, you're kind of like, oh, no, I got to save it. There's a big hill coming. And then you know, someone's like, that was Heartbreak.
That was the big one. Yeah.
And, you know, topographically, it's really not that much. It's almost, you know, if you talk to people that have done several, it's almost, how do you get ready for the downhills?
The downhills, yes.
How do you get your quads ready? How do you control yourself on pace? And then, you know, even, again, the backside of downhill all the way to Copley. Mm-hmm. Like, you're tired, and then you start taking that pounding again. If you're fresh enough to roll, it's great. If you're already beat up, it can get you.
Yeah, I think, like, that's the key. It's how do you practice being patient and staying on pace when you're screaming downhill, right? Like, when you have a chance. And I think that's what, yeah, you're right. That's what sucks people in, right? Man, I feel good. I'm going, you're running downhill. Of course you're feeling good. Gravity is pulling you, right? And then yeah, that's like when it.
500,000 people are screaming.
Yeah. And so, like, that's the kind of the approach that I've taken with the runners I've coached for Boston. And it's more so, and obviously, you know, you have to have a kind of a setup, right? Like, if you live in Houston, Texas, with no hills, it's kind of hard to do this. But if you live in an area where you've got the hills, we try to do a lot of stuff at pace downhill and then finishing uphill, right? So the opposite, right? Like,
I like that.
So, like, for my assistant coach, when she ran last fall, we're in a beautifully hilly area in Dallas, and it's just rolling. But we're able to start up, and we were doing, you know, 3 to 6 miles down, which was, you know, a net down, and then kind of finishing 3 to 6 up. And we were kind of progressing that. And, like, you know, and like what you were saying with the hills, though, and the topography of the course, I had two runners run Boston and run Dallas. So they ran Dallas in December, they ran Boston in April. Mm-hmm. And they both said Dallas was so much harder than Boston. And I think it was because we were prepared for Boston, and Dallas we weren't prepared for. We weren't thinking massive hills, and it just, Dallas was so much hillier to them than what Boston was, right? But I think we prepare. I think we overemphasize this idea of, like, we're going to be in control down, we're going to be ready for the up, and then we're going to be ready for the cruising to the finish. And so, it's just it's interesting, because people really do panic about the course, but really it's about being patient early and not overdoing it. But so, kind of go back to your story. So in 2003, which race did you qualify with?
I qualified with Tucson.
Okay, yeah.
And a very downhill course. With, you know, with a tiny wrinkle, of course, it turns on you at 23, right? Mm-hmm. When you least want it to. You kind of work your way up to the finish. But before that, it's been almost... Yeah, literally 23 of down.
Downhill,
So get that same kind of quad challenge and same thing.
That was the best training you could have done, right? It was getting the quads ready. So, like, I want to talk about the qualifying, because I think that's a unique aspect.
It's such a huge thing that, I've already seen in my time with Run Doyen, mm-hmm. and having had a group of collegiate runners at UGA that kind of became their thing post-collegiately.
Yeah.
Didn't stay racing 5Ks and 10Ks. And they kind of just transitioned to that and how much they've enjoyed it. But I literally had a Run Doyen client say to me, I want a Boston qualifier. And then she's like, she's like, do people actually run it? Or is it just the big thing, getting the qualifier?
It kind of both, right?
A little bit it is. Like, so many people, as much want the qualifier and to say they're a qualifier as they want to go to Boston.
For sure. So when you qualify, so it's unique, right? Because a lot of these races, it's not necessarily a time qualifier. It's more so this idea of, like, did I get in time? It's a lottery. Boston says, hey, here's a standard for your age group, and you need to hit that standard. But we had a little controversy this year. We'll talk about that in a second. But, like, when you qualified, what was that standard, and, like, how far under it were you? Do you remember?
It was 3:10, and I ran 3:07.
And so what age group were you then back then?
I was under 40. I was in my early 30s.
Yes. So now it's 3 hours, right?
Yeah.
And there's some obvious, it's gotten faster. Shoes.
Yeah.
Nutrition, training, it's gotten faster, right? It took 2:54 to get in this year.
Yeah.
Five minutes and 29 seconds under the actual standard. And so a little controversy with that, but like when we're talking a 20-year gap, right? So you qualified in 2003, ran it 2003 mm-hmm. to 2023. We're talking the time cut down from 3:10 to 3 hours. Now it's basically you were about 3 minutes under, but now it's 2:54 for that same age group now. Like, is it because, man, people are chasing it more? Do you think it's the shoes? Like, what do you think it is? And like, what do you think of that harder standard to try to get in there?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, again, we could joke that maybe everybody should go to the BU track to get the, the Boston Marathon qualifiers. You know, I think it was, first of all, the huge proliferation
yeah.
of the half marathon.
Okay.
I think that drew a lot of people in. If you look, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that kind of became the distance.
Yeah.
Like, in far more than 10K. And I think, you know, the marathon still was and is intimidating.
Yeah.
But I think that drew enough people into the pool. I think similar to what we see in collegiate running, I think, you know, Boston's always had a great international flair.
Yeah.
But I think we see with Rondoyan, just how many, you know, lawyers in Saudi Arabia and Switzerland and yeah. Indonesia and, you know, and with worldwide travel.
Yeah.
And in the large races in other places, I think all those things kind of came together. And then, you know, certainly it's always been there, but even more so within the running community, there's yeah. that badge of honor of mm-hmm. qualifying.
Yeah.
And then the shoes, I mean, clearly. Yeah. And, you know, I think you said it well, you know, not only I think the shoes, you know, do make a big difference, especially for the people that are kind of in that pocket, you know, yeah. the type A, want to get the goal, all that. And, you know, people kind of reaching out and the ability to get good coaching in a variety of different ways, whether it is the books or the online. How many people have taken, you know, an investment in nutrition or mm-hmm. in their strength training and
yeah.
all those things. You know,
yeah.
There's a good large subset, again, both in America and around the world where, and you know, it is infectious. I just had a guy, you know, ran a 40 minute PR in the marathon wow. and that put him 10 minutes away. So now you can already see it. He's taking a break, but he's like, oh, I might have to go for that.
Yeah.
I think yeah. when you get close that it is.
Well, so I had a client that he was one of the ones that just missed out. I think he was 2:55 or 2:57. He just missed out. And that's why he hired a coach. He said, I was that close. And so, you know, he didn't get in. So we're running a marathon a weekend either before or after Boston. And I'd have to pull up the calendar. I don't remember the exact date, but like that it was. It was like, I'm too close. I'm going to do this, you know? And I like what you said. Like, I, you know, I didn't even think about it this way, but the field is bigger because in terms of like the people you can pull from, because it worldwide travel is a lot easier. I mean, I've got clients from here in the States that are going to Tokyo and Berlin and all over the place. Right. And London. And so it's one of those things where it's like, you can actually pull, you know, it used to be the international field was the elite field. Right. But now it's a truly international field. I mean, obviously you're going to have a ton of Americans running it, but it truly is an international field. And with it being one of the world majors, you know, there's people who want to run all the majors and be part of that. And so, yeah, so it's between all those things, it's just expanded the net, right. That it's catching. But, you know, as I think about it and get excited for it, 'cause I've got some people training for it myself right now, you know, I start thinking about the history, right? I start thinking about like, and my history is limited. I read books, but like when I started watching and I kind of wrote down some things, but man, like, and I want to hear, you know, some of yours, cause I think you probably got a little bit, you probably got a little bit more history in you than I do in terms of,
I'm older.
You know, you've lived a great running life. Right. And so, but like for me, it's like, you know, I've got King of the Road, I've got Boston Billy, I've got all those Marathon Man, I've got those books. And so like the Bill Rogers thing that just kind of like, I'm just captivated by that. But really the thing I was thinking of was obviously they had the tragedy in 2013 with the bombings. And then the next year, Meb Keflezighi is running down, winning that race. And like that thing, that just gives me chill bumps thinking about Meb and just, you know, one, his story. But then the Boston Strong and Meb running down to the finish line and winning that race and so that's, I mean, like that's a close memory. That's within 10 years, right? But like I think this will be the 10 year anniversary. But like, what are some of your stories? Like what are some of the things that you remember or you kind of, you know, think fondly on with the Boston Marathon?
Yeah, I think kind of the first one to be conscious of, you know, was kind of Bill Rogers, just because it got a ton of publicity, more, you know, even seeing it in the newspaper after, and then having him coming back. You know, kind of the one that really stuck with me was when Greg Myers won.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, was down right at 209, and you know, he kind of picked up the torch from the greater Boston guys and all that, you know, clearly the duel in the sun race. And
yes,
then right before it went pro, you know, Jeff Smith, who was a Providence College guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then with it going pro and Prudential coming in and, you know, getting De Castella and so many of the guys that were those big names then, it was. And then, you know, Joan Benoit, obviously, New England connection, and you know, and then later, you know, the just loaded fields.
Yeah,
and it coming around to Meb, and you know,
yeah,
the horror of the bombing and all that. But you know, just to have so many great elite fields. And then, you know, I had one of my former runners was in the field the year of the miserable weather, and how up for Des Linden to get the win.
Yes. I forgot all about that, man. Like, I mean, that's huge, right? Like, yeah, that's crazy. I forgot all about that race. That was a miserable day, and toughness won, right? So,
and just, you know, the ability to avoid hypothermia.
Yes. Yeah.
We had a young Nicole DiMercurio who ran for Zap Fitness and ran for us here at Georgia. You know, at one point she's rolling up on Shalane Flanagan, and we're like, what is going on?
Shalane's getting hypothermia.
The field is just kind of evaporating, or not evaporating at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, and that's so typical of Boston.
Yeah.
It was super hot, or the headwind, or the tailwind.
Tailwind, yep. Yeah. Yeah. Ryan Hall running super fast on it. And one of my favorite runners in kind of in my post collegiate days was Jason Hartman. You know, he was always unsponsored, and I think he got fourth back to back. And, you know, it was like the Everman's runner. You know, it's like he's unsponsored. This is, you know, he's doing it. And he, you know, it's just so many fond memories of it. So, you know, this is going to air about a month out. Obviously, at that point, most of your training is done, but we can still talk some training, and maybe it'll carry over for the 2025 version. But what are some things, just some kind of nuts and bolts, do you think that outside of maybe your regular marathon training, you need to focus on with Boston when you're talking training for this race specifically?
I think some of the things you laid out are really good, and that's stuff that I'm working on with clients that I have that are going for the race as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely being on hills, and particularly rolling hills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the idea of, you know, straight up, straight down.
Yeah.
Or, you know, to be rolling and to get hills at different points in your long runs.
Yes.
Very much the kind of preparing the quads and having some sustained downhill,
mm-hmm.
particularly getting that sense of what is this effort? What is this stride? What does it really mean?
Yeah.
Pace-wise downhill versus yeah. just, you know, doing intervals on the track or, you know, I think we all have so many of our athletes who gravitate to the flat loop around the lake or
yeah.
the rails to trail for their tempo again, so they can be in the right heart rate or they can be in the right effort. But yeah. you know, ultimately for Boston, you do have to learn to incorporate the terrain
yeah.
to get the right feel and then be able to go tempo or marathon pace or, you know, in that circumstance. And then I think, you know, a little bit some of the strength supplements, you know, that I think we all encourage a lot of runners to do, but, you know, a little bit more quad strength, a little bit more hamstring strength.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, and this might be, oh, no, it doesn't matter. But the point to point of it, do you think that has anything like, I mean, like, is there anything, so, cause like, I feel like, you know, on a loop course or, you know, it's, you know, you can kind of get into that rhythm, but on that point to point, you're starting and ending in different places. I mean, is there anything with that in terms of training you need to look at?
I think it feeds into, you know, several of my runners, both for Boston and other, have said, you know, they do enjoy doing some of the point-to-point runs and like the idea of, you know, being dropped off by, you know, someone else in the running group or their husband and coming back in. And, you know, if you do that, that does sometimes set you up to have a little bit more either downhill or uphill.
Yeah.
You have one woman who insists she's going to do it the uphill way, just make herself strong and tough. And, I think there is something to that sense of starting one place, finishing another, and not having to repeat yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, certainly for runners, particularly for performance, you know, maybe a course like the trials is a little bit easier mentally.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, that's what I was thinking of, because like, you know, I ran a handful of marathons. I was never very, the marathon, it just never, I never figured it out. But like my PR was at Grandma's, which is point to point. It's net downhill, right? And, but I struggled with courses that were loops because it was easier for me to quit, you know, like, so it's like, I mean, but like, if I've got to get home, you know what I'm saying? If I've got to get to the place, like, I'm 26 miles away. My wife is waiting 26 miles away. I've got to get there. Right. And so, I actually thought it was easier mentally to do the point to point than it was to do the loops. But like, I think there's some people that are wired the exact opposite way. It's like a rhythm on a track, you know? And
yeah. And
that wasn't me.
I think most runners and, you know, would agree with you. You know, I think we all know, you know, the most dangerous moment is when you come by the house or when you come by the car, and you may need that gel and that water really bad. That's when you got to really keep your head on so that you don't just call it.
Yeah.
I think a loop course can be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You also hope kind of the novelty, you know, a lot of people do get out on the Boston course and run parts of it or whatever, but yeah, that novelty hopefully is one of the things that keeps you going.
Yeah. Okay.
Made it from Hopkinton to Framingham to Natick to Wellesley to BC. You know, I can see the Sitco sign.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. You got those markers.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think mentally that is a lot easier.
I think so too. I mean, I'm telling you, that got me home at Grandma's. You know, I was really struggling up to that point, and that got me. I was struggling with the marathon, and then Grandma's, it was like, my wife was like, I can't get out there. The roads are closed. You got to make it back. Right. And so that was kind of the thing. So, well, to tie up, Patrick, Just a kind of a quick hit. Anything that you want to share just about this race, just in general, whatever, for those out here listening, who either they're going to be racing it in a month or they're shooting for that Boston qualifier, anything you want to share just about the race or the event itself? I know you said it just surpassed all your expectations, but yeah, I just want to give you kind of a chance to expand on that stuff.
You know, I think each step along the way, I think, first of all, look at Boston, and it is, you know, for the recreational, and I'm not sure that's even the right term, you know, but it is such a great qualify. But if you look at people's stories along the way, a lot of them started as 4 hour or 5 hour, or couldn't even do a half marathon. So it's challenging, but it's accessible. And then to become a Boston qualifier, you know, to all of our Rundoyan people and other people out there, man, it's a great goal, and it comes with a lot of satisfaction. And then if you get a chance to do Boston, take it, because it's fantastic. And the whole weekend is a big weekend, and you know, the race being on Monday, and hopefully gets good coverage. I think it's been on ESPN2 or certainly one of the streaming services, and it's on, like you said, it's on all the channels in New England. And then, you know, kind of being around Boston or maybe going to the Red Sox game, you know, the next day, it's just a great experience, and it's worth it to try to qualify. It's worth it to run it. And if you do it, I think it'll be something that stays with you forever.
Yeah. You know, I think obviously I think this year is the 128th running, right? And so it's happened a lot, but it's an elite club to be part of, right? To have qualified for that. That's a big deal. And I hope people understand that and realize that. And if you have qualified and you're running it, man, like that's you're part of an elite club, and it's something to be proud of. Patrick, are you going to be there this year or no? I couldn't remember. I know we chatted before.
I'm tempted. I think I have a couple people signed up. Gonna have to see a little bit kind of what's going on with some stuff with my 12-year-old daughter.
There you go.
But I'd say it's 50-50.
50-50. I won't be there, but I've never been. But I just joined the Doyen Dashers. That's the so if you're not ready for a coach with Run Doyen, this is all in the show notes. But I just joined the Doyen Dashers to try to get myself back into shape. It's one of those things, like it's our program that you're not quite ready for a coach. It gives you a plan, but it's really flexible. You don't have as much accountability. Man, like, I don't know if I'll ever qualify again, but I qualified in 2013 or 2014. But I swore off major city marathons after Chicago. And so I never did it. And I've never been. And like, you know, I hear your story. I hear my assistant coach and her story. I've got some clients, and it just.
The one tip I will give people is, and you got to do it way in advance, but book one of those hotels as close to the finish as you can.
Okay.
Take the buses out, but then don't have to worry about that after. Like you want to be able to walk.
Yes.
Like you said, there are definitely logistical challenges.
Yes. Yes.
They've got it pretty dialed, but man, it's nice to be able to walk to get your shower, or walk to get a beer, and have to fight your way back out to Hopkinton or anything like that.
No doubt, man. Well, I'm excited for this year. And I know if we're not there in person, we're going to be watching. We've got athletes that are running it. And so that's exciting. And so, but Patrick, thank you so much for this. I hope you guys have a great spring. Good luck to your clients that are running Boston. Like I said, I know here at Rundoy, we've got a big, big group that's going to be running out there. And so we're excited about that. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be huge. I mean, this is like the Super Bowl, right? For Rundoyan. But well, hey, thanks so much. Have a great night, and
my pleasure.
Yeah, let's have a great Boston Marathon this year.
Absolutely.
Talk to you later. See you. Bye bye.
And that does it for our conversation tonight with Coach Patrick Cunniff. about the Boston Marathon. Look, we're about a month away, and I hope you're as excited as I am for Boston. If you have not yet qualified, but that's a goal for you, I want to let you know that's a great goal. And if you have qualified, welcome to an elite crew, an elite cast. It's an awesome thing to be part of. Those of you running in a month, we're excited to cheer you on, excited to follow along with your journey. So good luck. Have fun out there. I'll be back in just about 2 weeks on March 26th with an Instagram Live replay. I'm excited for that one with Coach Will. He's got a fun guest lined up. And so we'll have that replay for you there on March 26th. And then we'll be coming out on April 13th, just 2 days before Boston, with our next full form podcast. And so, yeah, excited for that one. It's been a fun spring already. I hope you've enjoyed these podcasts. We're going to continue pumping out, hopefully, what is great content with some of Run Doyen's world-class expert run coaches. Make sure you check out those show notes below. And until next time, have a great run.
Thank you for joining us here on the Next Level Running Podcast, your source for training advice from the expert coaches at Run Doyen. If you're ready to take your training and racing to the next level, head over to rundoyen.com and get matched to your ideal coach who will provide you with the highly customized online training you need for crushing your goals on race day.